September 9th, 2021. And I guess you could title a message, which I usually don't call digging out. Seems like my different teachings and things have kind of had a progression. Hopefully I can weave them into each other so that they're more like a tapestry instead of just scraps of things sewed together. Ezra 7:28, I was strengthened with your hand upon me. Job 10:12, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Ezra 7:28. Okay, this is the other one got cut off, sorry. And I was strengthened by the hand of the Lord, my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Before we go on anymore, never underestimate the power of gathering together. And I don't think we gather together as much as we should. It's that in that way that we clear a lot of things that are hanging on us, that, you know, maybe some dirt or sin or whatnot. You'll need a time to cleanse yourself and become, you know, a little bit better. So on this one, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he strengthened me, and he gathered the chiefs of Israel to go up with them. The other thing you ought to remember is try to hang out with people who are a little bit one step above you. I used to do that. There was a teacher at the kids' school, and she was scary. But the thing is I reached out to her and said, you know what, why don't we go get some coffee? So we got a cup of coffee, and it was, anyway, she didn't expect that, and I think it kind of helped a little friendship spark. And, you know, smart people don't have to be, we don't have to be afraid of smart people. I just learned that. Because I used to not speak with anybody. Oh, boy. I'm going right now. You don't have to turn with me yet. I'm going to Job 10. Lately, I've found out that Job is like my little buddy. I love that man, Job. Okay, I'm going to start here at verse 11.
What chapter?
Okay, chapter 10 of Job. You might as well go to it. Chapter 10 of Job, and we're going to start at verse 11. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. I'm jumping up here to 9. 8. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Yeah, that's, I would tell the Lord that. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and thou wilt bring me again into dust again. Thou hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? I can't believe this thing. Every time I see something that's different in the Bible, I put a dot in the margin, for example. I mean, who would have thought that cheese would be in the Bible? And that's one of our most favorite things.
Curdled cheese.
Okay, but the curdled cheese, if you know what to do, you could scrape it up and have fresh cottage cheese. So it could be very, very good. But the whole context of this thing is that we are all made with the same, you know, body structure, bones, sinews, ligaments, everything that we got, we're all there, and the Lord is working on us. And it talked about He fashioned me together when I was still in the womb. And it's at God's mercy that a lot of things happen, like curdled cheese comes from milk. We can't make curdled cheese. I mean, only God can do that. It's because it takes time and certain things to go in it. Well, I'm sure we can make it, but you can't make a hair either black or gray.
Right.
Now, that's something that the Lord can do. Mm-hmm. Now, the rest of y'all, I don't know about your color habits. We are clay. He is the potter. We have to do our job and obey. All right, and here I go. I'm jumping in at 11. Thou hast clothed me with the skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things have thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, and thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from my iniquity. If I be wicked, woe to me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou my affliction. See, the thing is if he's wicked. Well, first of all, when we went to school, the nuns would tell us about on our soul. If we had, if we do something wrong, like a little sin, you know, you told a little lie or something. If you lied, the Lord would put a little mark on your heart. But if you did something really bad, like, you know, cut the cat's tail off or something like that, then that would be a bigger sin. They would call that a venial, small one, and the bigger ones are
mortal.
Right. So anyway, I never knew that is possibly where the nuns got this, is from that verse and talking about the little marks. And of course, when on Friday we'd go to Mass, and it was time for us to go line up and go to the confessional and get all of our washing off of our souls, all the marks off. And you know, that's kind of what we do when we're going to not neglect our gatherings together. It's harder to gather together when you've got families on one occasion. But, you know, sometimes it's good to get together, because it's almost like the more you got, you know, you can combine each other and have different activities. Now, the part when he says, if I be wicked, woe unto my head. But if I be righteous, yet I can't lift up my head. I think right here is starting to get under Job's skin a little bit. Because if he does something bad, you know, that's bad. But if he does something good, he can't brag about it or, you know, puff his chest out, because that would be lifting himself up. Right. So anyway, he's in the middle of having a pity party at this time, I think. And he's going to start getting very verbal with the Lord in a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to 16. For it increases. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. I mean, Job's saying, it's like, do you ever stop? Now you have a lion after me? And again, thou showest thyself marvelous unto me. So apparently the lion did not eat him. It was some kind of miraculous thing that happened, so he spared his life. 17, thou renewest thy witness against me, and increases thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Isn't that funny? You would think they would say, war is against me. But changes and war, moving into a different house, that's changes. You know, I'm sure you guys experience that kind of thing. Changes and war. With me, ever since about April, I was dreading the change that my household was going to be. But it's starting to get better. 18, wherefore, when thou hast brought me forth out of the womb, oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. And that's pretty bad when you tell the Lord, you know, I just didn't want to be born. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence, I shall not return, and even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. 22, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. To me, that has so many things as far as I'm concerned. I've been going, digging out of this hole of darkness and disorder and uncontented and sadness and all this kind of bit. That seems to be getting better and better as time goes on. But the one thing they mentioned on here was the thing about without any order, and where the light is darkness. So even the light that you had, it's still, you can't comprehend it because you're in a kind of a dark place at that time. One thing for sure is when the nuns taught me about the marks, we grew up being accountable for our actions. We didn't want any of those marks on our souls, and regular confession was, we used to do that. So, you know, you could have something. I mean, Job had everything taken away, you know, his family and all his belongings, his crops. And what the Lord said, that he's one of mine, he will not curse me, and gave the devil like his permission to go ahead and mess with him all you want. But the thing is he won't ever turn on me, because I know he's a faithful person. But you know, when it starts talking about the shadow of death and all this, you know, immediately I see where it gets to Psalm 23 and how many times that these things kind of weave together. Psalm 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything Job had was supplied. It's almost like it was on order. He didn't have to worry about anything that he needed. It was all there for us, really. The Lord has everything, whether we see it or not. Amen. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, when Job was going through this time where the light looked dark and everything was in disorder and in chaos, I'm sure that when he got to the point where he could lie down in green pastures or drink some of that still water, I'm sure that he enjoyed that a lot.
Yes.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Wherever we stray off of, or what, you know, if we're doing something that might not be exactly what we're supposed to do, as long as we find righteousness, we'll be headed in the right direction. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, it's a secure thing when you have a rod and a staff. You know, when you go to school and you got a teacher that is really strict, and then you have a teacher that lets you go and do whatever, and some kids are bothering you, it's because the teacher's not telling them to settle down or whatnot. It's good to have guidelines and boundaries for your life. You need to have that direction and correction. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's so many references to this psalm in all of these, in the various parts of the Bible. It's just, you could just go on and on and on and making reference. Let's go to Psalm 139, please. Okay, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whether I shall go from thy whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend unto heaven, into heaven thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Sounds like you'd have some night vision in that department. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the light, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness, the night are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You know, reading this, I mean, it's, there's no way that you can say, Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through. I mean, he shows, he knows everything that you're involved with and everything that concerns you, from the littlest thing all the way to the biggest thing. And then we just went through what Job went through in chapter 10, listing all his concerns. And you know, this, sometimes it was, it just seems to be a blunt discussion. And I think that every kid, when they're growing up, they have a blunt discussion with their parents as well. So maybe Job really didn't get the whole idea of, hey, here I have served you for so long, and what's this? Why are you doing this to me? Anyway, I think it's good that he was, you know, being able to clear the air with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard some people talk about, well, I had to have a come to Jesus meeting with the Lord, but, you know, I guess it's good to do that. I mean, I've never done it in such a way, but, you know, I have listed things to the Lord and said, you know, what about this, that, and the other. The next thing I'm going to go through, and I might just introduce it for the next time, and it's based on Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Giving God the glory. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. When I hear that, I start picturing the tabernacle and how different things would go into that.
True.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Right here is kind of like a formula for us to get into praise and worship it at a church. It's not all, it's like, thank God I know that Megan's been involved in this music, and then she comes early and practices as well, and I can tell she practices at home. And then most 9 times out of 10, the rest of us are coming in cold. Not lukewarm, just cold. At least we're not lukewarm. Better to come in. Cold. But you know, if we follow this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I mean, it's okay to come and whoop or whatever to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. When we got something to do, when you know we have to wait on people, you do it with gladness in your heart. And once you've done that, and I'm thinking like the outer court area, come before his presence with singing. As you're getting closer with the Lord and your mind is in tune with his mind, you're going to come before his presence with singing. Where he talked about the, know ye that the Lord is God, he has made us. And we've all talked about he knows us inside and out. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, if you're going to somebody's house, I don't think I'm going to open the door to somebody that that's not very polite and very nice, you know? It's kind of like the Lord opening the gates for us to come into all His goodness. And we should be thanking the Lord every day for whatever He gives us. Thank you, Lord, for letting me get up in the morning. Thank you for a good cup of coffee. Thank you that I have my eggs and my toast, and they're done perfectly every morning.
Amen.
Amen.
And just the little things, you know. Sometimes I thank God that we ate everything in the refrigerator. Nothing went to spoil, nothing went to waste, and it went all the way to just a naked refrigerator with no food in it. And then I was excited to go shopping. Try to make it last. Praise and worship and prayer. If we keep this in mind with Psalm 100, we'll at least be heading in the right direction. Sometimes you just don't have it in you to praise or worship or pray, right? Let's be honest,
sometimes we don't feel like it.
But the best way to get over that hump is to get connected with the power source. And our power source is the Holy Spirit. I recommend that you connect to the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. If you don't know how to speak in tongues, we have several methods. Maybe this is not respectful. A long time ago, this Pentecostal preacher says, well, it's easy to get people to talk in tongues. You just say, see my bow tie? Now tie my bow tie. So you get them to say, see my bow tie, tie my bow tie, and then that gets them. Oh, well, never mind.
Did you get that from Dr. Tellers?
No, I didn't. No, but then there is the say of prayers. You could say hallelujah fast. And when that happens, your tongue gets taken over, and boom, you go into some language you haven't. Now, I'm speaking to the choir. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with all this. And then there's one of my favorite could happen to somebody I knew. I mean, it was just spontaneous tongues combustion started going in tongues. And it's like, once you're doing that, even if it's in the car, okay, at least you are preparing yourself to be hooked into the meeting. You know, it's kind of like going on a date and you're eating supper and you're not talking to your date. You know, that's kind of rude if you ask me. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. Speaking in tongues is a form of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, if we need some rewards, we really need to diligently seek the Lord.
True.
Speaking in tongues is kind of uncomfortable. It takes practice. So if you are not one of those people who do it regularly, it's good to practice. Get your skills up a little bit. This is the doorway to the courts. You're approaching the gates to the very presence of the Lord. When we're doing our thanksgiving, we're praying in tongues, we're being thankful, we enter His courts with praise, and I'll say that this is the day that the Lord has made. I think the Lord gets a little bit neglected for, you know, saying those things in the morning. Even if you just have to say good morning to those people around you, that's acknowledging one of God's existence. Everybody needs to hear their name in the morning. Thank God I got a pleasant husband, or I have a good attitude. Thank you that I got the grass to mow because it rained while I was away. This is a decision it's a sacrifice for you to be a blessing to others. You could just be, you know, I know everybody's lived with somebody and said, I'm sorry, I'm not a morning person. And so that gives them the excuse of just being grouchy to everybody, but it doesn't. That gets them just...
Say it louder.
You cannot say, I am not a morning person. Okay? It takes a decision for you to do that. And if you are ugly and rude to people, and it's your choice, it's almost like you're disrespecting the Lord for not having a pleasant attitude.
So I would shoot out those arrows.
Okay.
But it's kind of like David and Saul when David played, right? Like the coffee is the instrument playing music. You just have to approach with coffee.
Okay. Well, you know, my whole idea is early to bed, early to rise. I like working hard, cleaning up, washing the car. Have a good lunch, a good nap, and get up and work something else. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop at this point because I don't want to overstay my welcome. But the process is working, and I appreciate y'all's prayers to get me in the right spot. And,
question?
Yes.
I never wake up grumpy. Always let her sleep in. How much would you?
Ooh, yeah, we get personal.
Oh,
get personal here.
Well, no, we've always been. That's one thing Stan would say. One thing he likes about his wife is that she always wakes up happy.
Very okay. Good.
Well, right. I want to make.
I've seen your new house there, Dad, and you don't have a couch. So if she kicks you out of the bedroom, it's probably going to be outside.
Jane's standing.
On the couch.
I have an arrow to shoot myself, and I need Jane's support. Okay. When I come in here, most of the time, no one speaks to me and says, hi, Pastor, except for very few. How would you feel if nobody said, hello, Pastor? Or hello to you. How would you feel if you came in here and nobody spoke to you? This happens a lot in this church because we're so familiar with one another. And I'm just saying, I'm kind of stretching it a little bit, but it's to make a point. I've observed us being too familiar. We need to come and speak to one another, you know. Say hello. If you don't have anything to say, it's okay. Say hi, Pastor. Hi, Beth. Hi, Michelle. Hi. You know, say hello to each other. We're so familiar with each other, we don't think about it. And I'm just reminding you.
Don't take us for granted.
Yes, don't take us, each of us, for granted. Now, Dr. Tellers always says hello. I'm not...
Good. I do something right.
He does. He always says hello. To me, anyway, I don't know about the rest of you. If you all have a complaint, you can take it personal. Take it to them. But, you know.
Goodbye is good, too.
Yeah, goodbye is good, too. Yeah, instead of saying, oh, where'd they go? Oh, we're going to see you. Nice. Have a good evening, somebody, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up. You're welcome. It was a perfect place to say that.